Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Yes, Another Teen Movie. I'm Joe Rennery.
And I'm Heather Renton. Hello, listeners.
And we heard you loved our He's All That episode. So we hope it was worth the wait. Thank you to the two people who have given me feedback so far. I'm going to take you as a sample size and say that it was one of our best episodes ever.
Whoa, that's a big ass compliment. And if you did like it, maybe like, yeah, send us a message on the gram. What you reckon?
Yeah.
Ask the listeners to do that.
Yeah, let's do it.
Write in.
Call in. We always say that. It's funny because we don't have a phone number. Yeah, let us know which movie you prefer, She's All That or He's All That. Anyone who votes for He's All That is automatically being denied access to our podcast for like the rest.
Whoa. Rue, they can join my team. They can be on Team Hetty.
Yeah, that includes you, Heather. I'm kicking you out of this call, and it's just going to be me from now on telling you my opinions about movies. I'm gonna go real white man on this podcast.
So, Gemma, you and I have big news. We're not pregnant. Sorry, I'm just going to get this out of the way. But we both got new jobs.
Woo!
Yay!
Heather and I are so in sync. We both got new jobs around exactly the same time. Heather has a movie job now.
I'm a copywriter.
Yeah, she's a copywriter in an ad agency, which means that she's about to meet the one. But she's going to think she hates him at first. Obviously.
Am I gonna walk into him like carrying a big pile of papers that I need to get copied out for or something?
Hell yes. And it's gonna spill his coffee all over his Ralph Lauren shirt, and he's gonna be like, oh my god, watch where you're going. And you're gonna be like, oh god, sorry, I need to get to the copier. Yeah, that's exactly what's gonna happen.
And then we have, no, I hate him. I think you're making me too, like,
okay, sorry.
Submissive.
I'm
like, oh, that's a jerk from design or whatever.
It's going to be like How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days.
Oh, I love that movie. Honestly,
he's an ad executive, right?
Is he? I think so.
Yeah, that's what it's going to be like.
I've told everyone in the office to listen to our podcast. Did some very shameless promo. So in case you're a new colleague and you're listening, shout out to you.
Aren't you happy that it was such a good episode? That like the He's All That episode for them to get hooked with?
I know exactly. Mm. If it would have been Heather's, they would be like, fuck this shit. Or like, tall girl.
Yeah. Don't start with tall girl. If you're listening to this, you obviously haven't started with Tall Girl, but yeah, just don't listen to it. Just, why not? Just pretend it doesn't exist. I don't have a movie job. It's just another tech job, so I'm not going to go into that.
And run into some guy while holding a coffee cup and you've got a big pile of papers.
Yeah, I mean, we're trying to be, you know, paperless in the tech world, Heather, so maybe I'll be holding like a big pile of laptops.
So we actually, in the office, we don't work with like desktops, we just all have these like Mac laptops. Mm-hmm. Whenever I go meet someone, like I'm carrying it around in the office and I feel like such a fucking like professional, you know what I mean? Like, often meeting with my laptop, you know, as if I work advice or something. I don't know why. I'm just like,
it's funny. It's so funny. Cool. That's that's like, that's been in every job that I've ever had. But I do remember,
oh, really?
I do remember feeling very cool the first time I got given a Mac by a job. And yeah, you feel like,
yeah,
you're,
as if you're like, yeah, as if you're meeting someone, you're gonna have a big quick brainstorm about some ad. Like I only do the cop, like, but still, I feel like,
yeah, you feel like a modern day version of Mad Men.
So this movie that we're doing, is a bit of a throwback, and we should tell the listeners, Gemma, this is kind of the birthing stone of this podcast.
The birthing stone, yeah, it is.
It's the Rosetta Stone. No, it's like the. The backer mutt, we say in Dutch. I
have no idea what you're trying to say, Heather. I'm just going along with it, like I do with most things that you say. But yeah, it was the inspiration,
the seed.
Yeah, the seed of inspiration that grew into our podcast.
Because should we tell the story? Yeah, we'll tell the story. We both watched this separately, and I went to your house because you were packing to go to Ireland or somewhere, and we just had a glass of wine, girlies, because we lived like 10 meters away from each other, and we tried to discuss this movie, but for the whole night we'd be like, oh, by the way, another thing about this movie. Like we kept being like, wait, we need to discuss this movie.
We kept breaking off our whatever conversation we were having just to talk more about this movie.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like, who are you dating? Anyway, back to this movie. Noah also
who are you dating? As if we did not already know that in great detail.
I don't think I was dating Tone. You weren't dating anyone.
I can't even remember.
Then you said we should do a podcast about this, and that's the night we decided.
Yeah, that's it was.
So thanks to this fucking movie.
This film
sucks.
This film has a really special place in our heart. I actually really like this film. I think it does like loads of stuff really well, but the ending and the overall message then ends up being terrible. But we'll get into that more when we talk about it. But yeah, the main thing is that it gave us the idea for this podcast. We didn't do it first because we just watched it, but we'd watched it like too short of a time ago to rewatch it, but too long ago to like remember it well enough to do an episode on it. And we didn't want to start with such a, you know, non-classic. I mean, this isn't exactly like, you know, in the teen movie hall of fame. So yeah, we wanted to start with She's All That, because it's kind of like, you know, teen movie 101. But yeah, we finally have come back around to Sierra Burgess.
And I really, like, was dreading watching it because I remembered how much I disliked it the first time round. You know what I mean?
I can't believe how much you dislike this film. Like,
what? It's so shit.
You'd rather watch He's All That than this film.
Definitely.
He's All That looks like it was shot on a phone. Like, this film is actually has really nice cinematography, really nice scene setting. The dialogue is so much more believable and has like really like interesting themes.
Yes, and I must say that I was really digging the synth pop. I've never said digging before.
This is like part of Heather's new ad persona. Hey guys, I'm really digging the coffee for the new Heineken ad.
You dig me? I was really enjoying the synth poppy soundtrack. That was really like, it's really mellow and cool.
Yeah,
so I really like that.
The soundtrack's great.
I just think Sierra is a very unlikable main character. She's very unlikable.
And
boring.
See, I disagree.
There's nothing to like about her.
I actually think she's really likable. Until
how? Okay, Gemma.
She's flawed. She's an insecure teenage girl who takes the justifiable anger that she has, like, about being a teenage girl who looks different and is different out on the wrong person. I think it's such a believable and relatable storyline.
But because I remember liking it the first time round. We should get into the plot soon. People have no idea what we're on about because no one's seen this bloody movie.
Yeah, this did not like slap like all the boys or kissing me.
No.
Probably because there weren't three of them. But yeah, it's kind of the least well known, but I would say it's my favorite Netflix original teen movie.
Oh no, I prefer what's the one you really dislike? The half of it that no one's seen.
That bombed.
But I really like that one. That was a flawed teenage girl pretending to be someone else as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, I do have fond. Same I do have fond theme. Memories of that that movie.
And it was queer. And
yeah.
I thought that was really good.
I really liked
it's
the town they
no
lived in.
That.
The, like, nowhere town.
Yeah, that was good. Yeah. We should watch that again. Anyway, so Sierra Burgess is a loser. I didn't look up the date. Tone was like, when does this come out? And I just went, Berlin. He was like, it came out in Berlin? I was like, no, when I lived in Berlin.
It's from 2018.
I see. It's peak Berlin.
Yeah, peak Berlin.
And who plays Sierra Burgess?
Her name's Shannon Purser. If you've watched Stranger Things, you'll probably know her better as Barb, who was like the fan favorite character.
Barb.
And that's like off like that. She was kind of like the breakout of the first season, and then after that, she got this film.
What did she do after this movie?
We're yet to find out. Maybe she's in a TV show that neither of us watched.
Also, how was Noah Centineo? Centineo's little flame going. Is he still like a light or?
Oh, he's about to be in something really big. I'm sure.
West Side Story.
Let me check it out.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. I think he was meant to be in, like, a Marvel film or, like, or a very big, if not Marvel, like, a big comic book franchise. I don't know the difference between comic book franchises, by the way, because I'm not a fucking loser. So...
Whoa, way to ostracize half of our listeners, Gemma.
Yeah, I'm just kidding. He dropped out of being in the film, apparently. Maybe he thought it would lower his bad boy street cred too much.
Wow. He was everywhere for a while and every TV he really was. Netflix made, wasn't
yeah,
he?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, maybe he's just kind of like growing out of like the teen movie thing now. I
really like him in this movie.
Yeah, me too. Me too. He's like quite lovable in this movie. He's like all the good parts of Peter Kavinsky without the dickish parts.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. He's very likable in this movie. This movie I was like, yeah, he's got a sexy voice and he's cute and he's good looking. Yeah, I was on Team Noah Centineo over this one.
Definitely on his team. Have you noticed how he never really enunciates when he talks? All his words kind of roll. Hey Sarah, this is really for a day with me. His words really roll into one another.
So plot, you want to kick it off?
We're introduced to the main character, Sierra. She's, I guess her whole thing is that she's not like perceived as attractive by herself or by her peers. She's kind of overweight and she's really tall as well. So she's kind of just like,
I wouldn't say she's overweight. She's not skinny, obviously, but she's not like, I don't think she's overweight. She's bigger than, I guess, what is the norm. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I guess. I mean, I don't really know how she's supposed to be portrayed, but she definitely considers herself to be overweight. Mm. And her friends, well, not friends, but her people in her class make fun of her, like calling her a man and like making jokes about her being transgender, which is obviously really horrible. But you can see that she's just like I think she's a really great character because she kind of just lets it roll off her. Like, she's really kind of strong-willed. She stands up to the people that bully her, like the first girl, the girl who's kind of like the mean girl of the movie.
Veronica.
What's her name again? Yeah, Veronica.
Veronica.
Yeah, we're like introduced to her when they're in the toilets and she's like, get out of the way, like Quasimodo or something.
No, Frodo.
She calls her Frodo, but Sierra knows that she means Quasimodo. So he's like, I think you mean Quasimodo. And she's like, oh, whatever, freak. But she's just like, yeah, she just stands up to her. She doesn't like take any of her shit. And I just think she seems like pretty cool. She has a very hyperactive and kind of annoying guy best friend.
I love him, Gemma. We're not.
No, I love.
I think she.
No, I love. I, oh, I love. No, him. I did like him, but I also thought
he's so
at many points in the film he's a really bad friend.
She's a bad person, so I think he's a bad friend for not telling her to be like snap out of this and tell like stop catfishing this guy.
She's like witty, she's funny, you can tell that she like is really comfortable in herself, and she puts up she's really smart, and she has like perfect grades and she wants to get into Stanford. And something really important is that her dad is a poet. He's like a really famous American poet, and she feels like she kind of like lives in his shadow. And her guidance counselor tells her that she doesn't have anything that makes her special on her resume, which is also such a trope of teen movies. They always have some guidance counselor who's like, what makes you you? What makes you special?
Write an essay about it.
Yeah, exactly. So she doesn't have anything. So she's like, oh, I need to start tutoring less intelligent kids, because she's also super smart. She's like a genius.
Did you not think as well that like she puts up one of those like old-fashioned old-timey like photos and you cut out the bit, you know, your numbers?
Yeah,
this is 2018, a school, sure, they have some like online
message,
you know,
board or forum
reducing
or
paper
something.
Yeah, like, yeah, your office, like, yeah. Why this is such a old-timey thing to do. Obviously it doesn't look as good on film to like just put on a message board, like, who needs a tutor? But
yeah, it's so true.
I disagree with you on the main character. I think she's really boring. She just doesn't anything going. She's kind of smart, but she's nothing. I don't understand why they made her the main character, because she has nothing to her, I think. She's just really bland.
Oh, really? I don't agree yeah. at all. I
don't think she's funny at all.
I really related to her character. She's really like, really? Yeah, she's...
I wrote down, I want to bully her too.
Well, I guess you would have wanted to bully me in high school then, Heather.
No, you were popular, right?
Yeah, I was, but...
You got hot at one point.
Yeah, what about before I was hot? I was a real Sierra Burgess back then.
Oh, bless you. I'm glad we didn't meet then, hey. But, and I really like, her friend is maybe the truly unsung hero of this movie. His name's Dan. I think he's got the funniest... Would you love a friend like that?
Yeah, totally. He is. I mean, not when he like forces her to go up and talk to the guy that she's catfishing. Yeah. That's what I meant about him being a bad friend.
Oh yeah.
But we'll
yeah.
get to that part later.
But yeah, so she hangs up the numbers Tudor bits, and I think Veronica is like a spoof of a mean girl. I think partly because their costumes are really bad. Like, they're, like, dressed non-away teens who wear clothes. Like, you know what I mean?
It's very stylized, you know what I mean? It's just the like movie, yeah.
It's very, like, oh, an adult thought of this. And it's, like, no one wears... It's, like, Laura Jean Coffey, but, like, the edgy version.
Exactly. It's stylized in the same way that every Netflix movie is. Yeah, they have the clothes are
And
weird.
Also, Veronica is mean... Is completely mean without a reason. Like...
Yeah.
Don't you think? She's a mean girl with no... She has a backstory, but we still don't find out why she's mean.
Yeah, I guess. I guess being mean is... Yeah. I mean, it's just... It's a trope of, like, every Netflix... Like, every teen movie ever. So I guess there has to be kind of, like, mean girl. But you're right. She's just mean without a reason to be. She's just the mean girl.
And she's it's really gotta fucking be one. Mean as well.
There's gotta be one.
Yeah, she's really, like... just.
She's so mean. Yeah, yeah. She calls her a man. She calls her Quasimodo. She's really mean to her. Like, yeah.
One point she's like, looking at you makes me want to gouge my eyes out.
Yeah, Jesus. I know. The stuff that she says is really, really horrible.
But yeah, anyway, so she rips, so as like being a bully, she rips the stuff with numbers, with Sierra's number, and keeps it in her bag. Like,
yeah.
The plot is super thin. That part is.
So she rips off the phone number, stuffs in her bag, and...
Goes for drinks with her friends.
Yeah, well, salads.
Salads. Yeah. It's a really stylized diner as well. Like, the most soulless place ever, but side note.
And Noah Centineo is there hanging out with his friends who are kind of, like, losers. Like, they're not, like, yeah. They,
hot jocks.
Yeah, exactly. Veronica and her two friends are watching him, like, looking over at her and kind of, like, deciding whether he's going to come over or not. And when he does, he's like, hey. And she's like, you want my number? And he's like, oh, just like that? Oh, that was so easy. And she's like, yeah, sure. And she, like, looks in her bag at Sierra's number, and she reads it out to him. So he takes Sierra's number, and then when she walks away, like, one of her friends is like, why did you do that? He was flash your tits in Cancun hot. And she's and she's like, look at its friends. Only losers hang out with losers. So she's, like, anti him because, yeah, his friends aren't hot. So then he has Sierra's number, so then that night when she's at home, like, studying or whatever, she gets a text from him. And the thing that I really like about this movie is how well it does, like...
Yeah, that's true.
But yeah, it does.
The excitement of texting someone you like, it does really, encapsulates that mood very well.
I've never seen a movie do that so well, genuinely.
No. No, I got butterflies the first, not this time, because I hated this time, but the first time I watched it, I really felt like, oh my god, I remember this feeling of, like, texting someone and can't wait for your phone to go off and phoning them, and yeah, it does put that really well.
Yeah, that's kind of, usually when films do texting, it's like we said, a screen that comes up that looks like they've never texted the person before, and it's just like, really, yeah, it's never done well, but like, this really captures the feeling of, especially being a teenager and texting someone that you like, but even now, I mean, like, it persists into when you're an adult as well, and like, the kind of, like, you know, they like, they text like real people as well. People in movies never text like real people. Like, they add, like, haha and stuff to their messages to, you know, show the other person that they're not being, like, too serious, and they delete stuff and then retype it, you know, like you would if you were texting someone that you like, yeah. And like you like draft the message a few times. Like it really captures yeah. that excitement, and I really, really like that about the film. I think that's something it does super well.
I agree with you on that one. But then they do send each other like stupid like gifs of like two dogs kissing. Like
they send each other way too many animal pictures, yeah. Yeah, that's definitely. A bit dorky. Yeah.
So they text all night. Also, like, what a prank, what to give the wrong number of, like, it's just a stupid prank. But then they text all night. Did they phone that night or a different night?
Maybe? That's later on. They talk on the phone later on. But she's texting him and she doesn't know how he got her number or anything. He sends her a picture of himself shirtless, and she's like, oh my god, like,
you would
yeah.
be
she's
Noah Centineo is kind of hot,
hit the jackpot, but she still doesn't know why he's messaging her, and she is aware that it must that he thinks that she's someone else, clearly that there's some kind of like misunderstanding, yeah. But she just doesn't know who he thinks she is. Then like eventually he says something like, I know who you are, Veronica, and like I can't remember exactly why he says that, but she's like, oh my, like there she's with her friend when they read it, and they're like, oh my god, he thinks I'm Veronica, like it's the worst person that it could be, because she's like the hottest girl in school, so she's like, that's who I have to live up to. That's the moment that she finds out that who he's talking to. Yeah, she knows that she should tell him that she's not Veronica. But I guess it's the first time that a guy has ever been interested in her, so she really wants to keep talking to him.
See, that's why maybe, like, I had no patience for her, because she's catfishing a guy. We've all seen catfish. Like, how do you think it pans out?
Oh, yeah, you know it's definitely like, wrong. But she's also a teenager.
I know, I didn't have any sympathy for her, because her friend keeps being like, you should tell him. And he's like, she's like, no, but he likes me, like me. But she goes, the catfishing goes really far.
So, too far to be believable.
Yes, also that, but also, what fucked up. This is the first film in months or years that Tone has watched with me, and his commentary was fucking comedy. I'll read out some of his quotes later on.
Yeah.
Veronica's crying in the hallway over some guy, Spence, who she says, like, he thinks I'm dumb. And then this is the plot that is so, like, this could have done with a bit of brain, like, brainstorming, because this makes no sense. Sierra goes over and is like, I'll tutor you so you can be more smart, so you can impress your college boyfriend, if you can help me out with something. Like, what the fuck?
It is very weak, but
so weak.
I feel like, so like, you know how this is based on Cyrano de Bergerac? I've never read Cyrano de Bergerac, but like,
is that the same thing that the half of it was based on? No,
actually Heather, funnily enough, they're both based on that is so weird though. Why would Netflix opt two teen movies that are based on the same like medieval story? The reason that I knew that Sierra Burgess is a loser is like Anthony Burgess is like the person who did like the most famous adaptation of Cyrano de Bergerac, and like her name is Burgess, and like her dad's a famous poet called Burgess. Like there's a lot of, I was like, wait, if that's not based on it, that's like crazy. But yeah, they're both okay, based on it, which is super weird. But yeah,
why, it's a good story.
Well, yeah, apparently. I guess so. But you know how in when things are based on like old timey stuff, like all the Shakespeare teen movies, the plot devices in those days were like pretty weak.
That's true.
So I feel like this could
in
be...
Cruel Intentions, when someone's like, my friend wrote to me about you, you're like,
exactly that's the same exact type of film that's based on like this French like epistolary romance. So I'm assuming that something similar happens, where he's like, I'll teach you how to be smart and understand literature to impress this person. And then they just try to translate that to... Because that's what happens in Thing as well. The exact same thing that happens in the half of it. Yeah. She tutors him in how to talk to the very hot girl. I can't remember her name. So yeah, she's... But yeah, it's so dumb. Like, she's like, I'm going to teach you about Plato and Nietzsche.
Yeah, so you can impress your and get him back that way, like that. And I can't believe that Veronica agrees with that.
I know.
And then, insane. But yeah, what happens then is that while they're studying together, they become friends.
Yeah.
And also Veronica's poor, which is interesting.
Yes.
That's the first time we saw a poor rich girl. a poor popular girl.
Apart from last week, and he's all that.
Yeah, and topped this by a mile. No, but like that was that. I remember us speaking about that in your room in Berlin. That was an interesting sort of twist.
Yeah.
In the teen movie genre.
I mean, that was the first time we'd seen it. Yeah, I guess if you're talking chronologically, yeah. I think the reason this movie is interesting is because part of it is because like it has like a really nuanced concept of privilege.
Yeah.
Sierra is not considered conventionally attractive by her peers. That's the problem. Like, I don't think we should shy away from calling her like overweight, because that's like, I think part of the point of the movie is to give, you know, like a fat girl the starring role, part like Booksmart or like whatever. She like that is kind of part of her character, is that she's fat, she's like, but she's still beautiful. Like, fat and beautiful can coexist, they're not like a separate concept. But she has a lot of cultural capital that will become so much more important later in life. Like, being when you're a teenager, all that matters is like being hot and being popular. Her dad is a poet, famous one. She comes from like a literary family. She obviously has money and also like a lot of like good, she has really good education. Like, her parents have really good values. Mm-hmm. They've instilled like values of like intellectualism and academia in her. And her parents are also super loving as well. She's an only child. She seems like quite spoiled. She comes from like a really nice background. Whereas Veronica is super hot, super skinny, cheerleader, super popular. All the guys love her, but she's from a poor background. Her dad left her mom, and her mom's like a really depressed, overweight ex-gymnast who like eats her feelings and shames Veronica into not eating junk food. She's worried that she's gonna end up like her, and she has two really fucking annoying sisters. Oh. They might actually be the most annoying siblings from a teen movie. They are the worst. I would kill myself if I had to live in a house with them. They do the baton twirling thing. What's that called again?
I don't know.
Yeah, that's it. Marionettes. Yeah.
And her mom also prefers her daughter being hot over educated.
Exactly. She places the value on that. So there's kind of this interesting, like, as a viewer, especially as an adult viewer, you can see that even though like Veronica so much has the upper hand over Sierra now, that Veronica is the type of person who's going to peak in high school, because she's not academic. She's not like committed to studying. She's she's not from a background where like her mom places any importance on like academic pursuits anyway. Like, Sierra's obviously going to go really far. So it's kind of sad when you see Veronica's home life, you realize that, like, because I guess obviously there's Mean Girl redemption in this movie, but like most mean girls are from like, they're also really rich. It kind of goes hand in hand, and it gives them the like, it props them up. But yeah, I guess it's also more realistic. This doesn't seem to be set for the super rich world of like All the Boys and like other Netflix teen movies.
No, I don't think so either. Sierra Burgess has like a normal,
normal. Like, it's not even to All the Boys big.
Yeah, it's really interesting. And also normally, if people are poor, they hide it. She doesn't hide from it. She's a bit like, this is my house. But
she's obviously like slightly embarrassed.
So defensive. But the two of them become friends, which is the most heartwarming and original. Like, this film tries a lot of things that I really encourage, but then the end all execution of it, or some of the choices they make, I do agree.
I really agree. Like, the way the film ends is like, oh my god.
Yes.
Like, I can't believe that's the story they chose to tell. The female friendship route was so nice. Like you said, heartwarming.
Yeah, it's really nice. So they become friends, really gradual. But all this time, Sierra is still catfishing. But they spend hours on the phone. And like you said, Gemma, I can really still call up that feeling of butterflies when the person that you really like calls you, especially being a teenager. And it has all the synth poppy, like, and it's all shot on like pinkish
tones. It's really aesthetically pleasing. And the music is really good. Like, it gives, it evokes a really certain good kind of like nostalgia or something. Yeah, dreamy nostalgia. Yes. Like, when I watch it, I feel it's like a teenager.
Same. And it's kind of the soundtrack from Drive, but like more poppy or girly. Yeah, I'd say girly, but you know what I mean. Kind of like, yeah, like I said, 80s kind of poppy. It's really nice. But what she takes the catfishing so far is at one point, he wants to FaceTime. So Veronica sits in front of the... Because also when they phone, he's like, oh, your voice sounds different. She's like, yeah, I have a cold. That's why I sound more manly. So when she called, when they FaceTime, Sierra speaks and then Veronica just mouths it, like mimics it. And they're like, oh no, the camera, the Wi-Fi's bad, gotta go, bye. It's so fucked up.
But I really love the moment when, like, they've kind of haven't been, like, up until then, they've still been kind of sniping at each other. Like, Sierra gives it back to Veronica, which she's not as mean as her. But after they do that and they pull it off, and, like, Veronica closes the laptop and she's like, oh my god, I can't believe he fell for it. And she, like, hugs her and they're, like, screaming and jumping up and down. That, to me, was, like, the epitome of being a teenage girl. Like, it feels, I thought that moment felt so real. Like, in that moment, that moment, they, like, could forget that they're, like, from different cliques at school, or, like, that they don't really, because they did something together, and it was, like, they pulled, like, not a prank, but, like, they pulled off this kind of scam on a boy. And it's like they have just these really pure feelings towards each other in that moment. Like, they're a team. I just think that's really nice.
That is really nice. You're right on that. But it's still not going to forgive what happens next.
The next part is really terrible. This is when the movie starts to get bad. And you're like, okay.
So Noah wants... Oh, Noah, what's his name? His movie.
Jamie
wants to take her on a date. So Veronica goes on a date with Jamie. And it's like, also, it has a bit of that slapstick, like, rom-com feel. Like, oh no, I need to be at two places at the same time. And I've got my mustache on. But shit, I need to get changed in the bathroom real quick. And, like, Mrs. Doubtfire kind of comedy of, like, someone's like... So Sarah Burgess just sits in the, like, behind him in the cinema and texts.
Just
like,
wearing a big hood.
But, like, also, how is Jamie not, like... And also Veronica's like, don't kiss him. Like, Veronica... Oh, no, that's what Sierra says to Veronica. Like, Sarah, you can't really... Like, what if he
fucking
goes? Exactly. Like,
what's she gonna do? He thinks it's her.
What? Like, are you insane? And then... Also, how is he not picked up on that her voice has changed?
Well, he says, oh, your voice is skinny again. And she's like, what? Because she doesn't get it, because... they didn't have that conversation.
Yeah. No.
so he's like, sorry, it was really late. And there's like an awkward moment because she obviously doesn't know all the things they talked about. So any private jokes or whatever, she's kind of at a loss.
Which makes his plan insane for one of the many reasons.
Exactly. So it's like a triple date with like her friends and his loser friends, and then Sierra's sitting in one of the back rows. But then this is when it gets really heinous.
This is
so bad.
Oh my God.
So she messages Sierra during the film saying he wants to drive me home after, and then the next bit is like them standing in front of Noah Centineo always drives a Jeep. If he's gonna be in a teen movie, he's gonna drive a fucking Jeep, okay? Otherwise, yeah, that's his contract. Otherwise, he's not gonna be in the movie. My character, he's like really manly, so he drives a Jeep. So just like Peter Kavinsky, this guy's driving a Jeep. So they're standing in front of his Jeep, and they're kind of like, she's actually kind of like flirting with him now, and like they're kind of like I think he probably just thinks that she's like super nervous because they're meeting for the first time, you know.
Yeah.
So she's not being her usual self, like she is texting her on the phone, which kind of was always the case when you were a teenager anyway. Like, you'd be so much more confident texting someone. They're standing against his Jeep and he's like, oh, you look... And then Sierra comes like running across the car park and she's gonna like hide behind the car to listen to their conversation.
Yeah, so
and then
stupid.
He's like, I'm gonna get you a jacket. So she like drops to the floor and does like an army roll underneath the car. But there's no way that he wouldn't notice it. She literally thumps to the ground next to his feet and then like rolls under his car and he just doesn't notice. It's so stupid.
But that's not the worst that happens,
this gets even worse.
Because then he goes in to kiss Veronica, and Veronica's like, wait, close your eyes, close your eyes, keep them closed, like, like getting gestures for Sierra to come out, and they're like, what are you doing, what are you doing, what are you doing, and Sierra puts her hand over his eyes and kisses it.
It's so weird. It's so non-consensual.
I know, Tong went, whoa, why don't you go ahead and just fucking rape the guy?
Yeah. It's really bad. It's really non-consensual. Like, he thinks that he's kissing Veronica. That's not a joke.
And it's played as this really romantic moment, but it's so fucked up. And that makes it even more weird because the movie's like, the music swells and she's really enjoying this kiss. Also, what if he grabbed her hair? Like, he would have, or her body, he would have, he would have needed to kept his arms.
Exactly. That's such a good point, actually. I didn't even think of that. Yeah. As soon as he touched her, he would know that it wasn't her. But also, I feel like you'd know anyway, first of all, you'd be able to sense that there's two people there, I think. And you would just.
Because they're whispering.
Exactly. And you just know if you were kissing someone else. I just feel like you would.
Who was taller?
Well, exactly. But anyway, they never kissed before, so maybe there's that. But I just feel like you'd know. Anyway, you're right. The fucked up thing is that it's like the romantic bit of the movie where it's like, love is blind. Like, he thinks he likes Veronica because she's hot, but he fell in love with like Sierra's personality. And now he's kissing her personality or whatever. It's so bad. It's really, really bad. Like, I feel like if it was roles reversed with two guys, there would be like way more justified outcry about it. Like, it's messed up. You should never kiss someone when they think they're kissing someone else, because that's not consensual.
And it's meant to be this funny girl.
Yeah, they're like so celebrating. Strange. They're like, woo, you got to kiss him. It's so weird. So then, you know, she runs off. He drives Veronica home, thinks they kissed, whatever. So then the next thing is that Veronica and Sierra are studying again. By this point, they're like friends. Like, they consider each other friends. It is really nice because Veronica's like, I've got to get ready, I'm going to a party. And then she's like, do you want to come? And Sierra's like, together? In public? And she's like, yeah, sure. She surprised herself by how much she likes Sierra, and that's making her like less bitchy and snobby, and like, she doesn't care as much about impressing her friends. So they go to the party. I think it's like a college party, and like, Spence is gonna be there.
You can hear him say like,
oh my god, it's like, no, I like, guys are dicks, but like, even like teenage boys wouldn't talk this directly assholish. Do you know what I mean? He's like, yeah, I told Veronica.
Yeah, it's so funny.
I told Veronica she's stupid, so she put out. And the other guy's like, bro, you're the master.
He's like, I bow to you, my master. Tone's pissing himself laughing at this point. Also, Tone's never watched a teen movie. He's like, what the fuck?
Yeah, Tone probably didn't even know about any of these tropes. It was all new to him.
No, exactly. He's like, he's like, what the fuck? Yeah, it was really funny watching it with Tone.
Yeah, I really... I love that part. Yeah, Toad must be like, why do you do this to yourself every 2 weeks?
Yeah, he's on his phone. I was like, babe, she needs to watch. He's like, no, I don't want it anymore. I don't like it.
I'm not surprised.
But so Spence is an arsehole. Sierra gets really drunk after like one beer, about, you know, whatever. So Spence and Veronica go and make out, leaving Sierra. Veronica's a bit like, oh, I don't want to leave my friend. And he's like, come on, baby, come on. He's quite hot. I think he's quite
hot.
He's
pretty hot. Yeah, he is. But he's okay, definitely a dick. So, yeah.
Yeah, he's meant
to be. So I think it's...
That's the only dialogue we see.
I think it's implied that they have sex. I don't know. But it's not like... It's not like a huge big thing or anything.
But he takes a photo of them, like a selfie, while they're making out. Which is strange.
I know. Weird. I don't... And then she has the photo later. I didn't get that part. He sends it to her. I don't know. But that seems weird.
I don't know. Strange.
What happens next. Anyway, Sierra goes home. She's really drunk.
She calls Jamie and tells him that she likes him.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That she really likes him.
We forgot to mention that her friend Dan, they see him in real life, and then they run up to him. And then Sierra pretends to be deaf, and it's a really embarrassing, like,
it's so,
scene. Because his little brother
is
deaf.
Yeah, it's so awkward.
She just looks like a loon.
His little brother says, this whole thing to her in sign language, and she just like nods in response because she doesn't actually understand sign language. So
I
feel like his brother would have been like, she's not deaf. But anyway.
But then they shake hands and then they have a moment, apparently.
Yeah.
And Sierra's like, oh, we had a moment. Maybe I could do it without Veronica. And the friend Dan is like the voice of the people. He's like, well, you should tell him that it's not.
Exactly.
That it's you.
Exactly. But she doesn't listen. And yeah, she lies to Dan about going to the party. She says she's like having a night in. I think she is.
Oh, yeah. She's a shit friend to Dan as well.
She's a really bad. That's also like in every teen movie when they like start, you know, they like lose. They start acting like a different person and they lose their friend and then they become friends again at the end. That's in every movie. So then the next day is like the big game and this
between the two high schools, East and West.
East and West, what? We don't know. So this has been kind of like the moment that she's kind of been dreading because Jamie's on the squad for the other team, Veronica's the cheerleader. This is where people would like actually kind of like see them together as well. So like she's in the band, obviously she's a band kid, she's a loser. Veronica tells Sierra that I was about to call him Snape. Spence dumped her. Spence dumped her earlier in the day at school. She's like crying and hugging Sierra. And she says he dumped her by DM. And she's really upset about it. So when at the game, when Jamie starts like paying attention to her, she's like really, she's more, before she wasn't interested because she only wanted Spence, but obviously she's feeling like really hurt and sad, and Jamie's like a hot, really, really nice guy. So she's more kind of like, oh, cause like, you know, he does like who he thinks is her, so it's kind of fair enough.
But also, it would be weird for her to act all standoffish. Because he does think they're dating, so I don't blame her. But then basically what he does is grabs her and kisses her, and he's a hot guy, and she kisses him back, not for long. But then Sierra sees it and is fucking fuming. And I'd get you feel jealous, but I'm also like, this is your doing. I think she's a fucking entitled brat. Like, I'm just like, Jesus, this is you're the one who's catfishing everyone, and then you're upset that he kisses the girl that he thinks he's dating, and you're angry at the girl for that as well. Sorry, she really fucks me off in the end, man. But anyway, what happens next, Gemma?
Gets so angry that she does a really, really bad thing. So she goes to her car.
Yeah.
She steals Veronica's... I guess she goes to, like, the changing room or something. I was on my phone for this bit. Because she gets Veronica's phone. She logs into Veronica's Instagram from her own phone.
Oh, and she gets into the DM.
You cracked the case. I didn't. I was still like, wait, what happens? So Spence sends her, again, he's like cartoon villainishly mean. Like, he sends her the picture of them making out, and he's like, oh, this was fun, but like, it's over, or something. Like, who does that? Who would include a picture of you kissing in their breakup text? Like, it's like, no one is this evil. She posts the picture, like, from Veronica's Instagram screenshot with like the text and stuff, and then obviously then you have the moment that you always have in teen movies where everyone's phone starts going off because
whoever's on their phone, like, showing each
other. Yeah.
Someone runs up to Veronica on the field, like, have you seen this? And that breaks my heart when she's like, what the fuck is this? And she looks around and she looks at the crowd.
It's so sad. It's really sad.
And she's like, oh, you'd be so angry. Yeah. I'd never forgive someone if they did that to me.
And Sierra, like, rapidly regrets it as well. You can see that she's, like, starting to sweat and she looks terrified because weird guy in their class gets hold of the computer that they're using to like display the team like crest on the scoreboard, and he like streams the picture to it instead. So everyone in the stand sees it, including Jamie. He's like, what the fuck? And he's so distracted by like seeing it that he gets tackled from the other team, and he's injured. Sierra and Veronica both run out onto the field. And Sierra's like, I'm so sorry. I did it because I was so angry that you kissed him, but I know it was wrong. And Veronica's like, how could you do this? Like, you ruined my life. And he's like, Sierra, I thought you were deaf. And then Veronica tells him, like, the whole thing, that Sierra's been pretending to be him. And he, quite rightly, is like, both of you stay away from me.
Yeah, he's like, get the fuck away from
Which
me.
Is what you would say if you found out that two people have been doing that to you.
We see her in high school moping about because Dan's angry at her, understandably so.
Classic.
He's like, what did you do? And she's like, you hate Veronica. He's like, yeah, but what the fuck? And also,
he's like, that was too mean.
Veronica says to Sarah, she's like, you're worried about your looks, but that's the least ugly thing about you. Like, it's inside us. And it's like, oh, that is right in the feels, man. And she's right. It's such a horrible thing to do to someone.
It is really like heart-rending comment. Like, it would be such a horrible thing to hear. But yeah, you're right. Like, what she does, like, is really terrible. But I know she does a terrible thing, but I think you have to give characters in teen movies a lot of allowance because they're teens. Everyone does bad stuff when they're a teenager before they learn, like, the full validity of, like, human emotions.
I guess, but then it wraps it up too quickly in a bow in the end. If it was a TV series and you'd have a character, like, then, okay, you could work it out and whatever. It's such a
You're very right.
And how everyone just kind of forgives her straight away is so unbelievable.
No, like, you're very right. There should be more consequences for her actions.
Yeah, because she...
And the main consequence should be that the guy that she lied to doesn't like her anymore.
No.
That's, like, what should happen.
Yeah, because what does happen is that she's moping about in school with no friends. She writes a stupid song and then plays everyone the song and then everyone forgives her, basically. It's bizarre.
Yeah.
Like, I was like, how did they all get the same song? Surely different people would need different songs. You can't just be like, I'm a sunflower, not a rose, but, like, you don't want to pick me. And it's like, what is Veronica getting this song? Because she get but fucking, like, Sorry Seems to Be the Hardest Word cover. Am I right?
Yeah, I guess so. But I guess she's articulating her feelings through the song.
Jeez, get on the fuck.
Like, she feels inferior or whatever.
If you did something,
anyway.
If you did that to someone, you'd better come up with a big fucking apology. You know what I mean? But what happens next is that she makes up with Dan first. He forgives. I hate how quickly people forgive each other in teen movies. Like,
oh, but come on. How often do people really hold grudges in real life?
That's true. Maybe when you're a teen. But anyway, Veronica shows up to Jamie's door and you're like, uh-oh. And next thing you know, there's a really sad image of Sierra having dinner with her parents before the prom. In the most ugliest prom that I've ever seen.
Oh, God, it's so bad.
But, like, she's not ugly. Like, so, yeah, she's tall and she's bigger, like, than what is considered beautiful or, like, attractive. But she's not ugly, but her costumes are the worst. Like, they make her look like a big toddler.
Yeah, it's true. She wears very, like, cutesy clothes, like pastels with, like, animals on and stuff. But I do in general like the aesthetic of the film. Like, I think her clothes suit the aesthetic, but she looks like an overgrown child.
She does, and just with stupid little hair clips and things. It's like, you're meant to be, like, what, 18 or something? Like, lose the fucking hair with the hair stuff. But yeah, the prom dress is hideous. This is a really sad image of her just sitting between her parents.
It's really depressing.
Isn't it depressing? Like, going to prom, going to a party when Tone's not home and getting all dressed up by myself feels a bit lonely. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's weird that she ate dinner with them with her dress on. Would you not put your dress on after dinner? Like, what if you get food on it? And, like, also, just why? Why would you wear it? I don't know.
Yeah.
It is very depressing. Then she gets a text that's like, hi. And she doesn't know who it is because she's deleted Jamie's number before. You see her doing
that. Oh, I missed that.
And she says, who is this? And then he says, come to your window. And then she goes to her window. Jamie is standing outside his Jeep.
Beep, beep.
Again. And she goes outside. I mean, you can tell what happens next to her because you're clearly pissed off about it. I am too.
But he's just like, oh, what you did is really bad. And maybe if we hadn't met the way we met, I wouldn't have really noticed you. What did he say? You're not my type.
He says you're not everyone's type, but you're my type. Which I was like, that's kind of rude. Like,
it's rude.
He's basically, it is. Like, I don't like what he says to her. Because he says you're not everyone's type. And she's like, okay. Like, she knows that it's rude. And then he's like, but you're my type. And that's meant to be like, that's meant to be like him like saving it, and then she's like, oh, but it's still like weird. He's basically saying like, you're unattractive to everyone else, but I'm like good enough to like see that true beauty is inside. It's like, no, she's beautiful. Like, he is subscribing to the idea that fat and beautiful can't be the same thing, you know. Not a great speech, Noah.
I said to my ex-boyfriend, I said, like, you're not really my usual type, and he said, Heather, man, I'm a half Asian tiny half Scottish man, I'm nobody's type. I was like, good point.
That's you told me that before, but it still makes me laugh when you do that impression. It's like, such a great response to being told that.
He's like, nobody says, like, here, man, I really want a short, muscly, Asian, Scottish man. That's what I really love.
This guy was so muscly. And short. It's like a little action man.
Shout out to my ex-boyfriend. Shout out to my ex.
Oh, Little Mix. They've been in the news recently. Topical.
So yeah, his speech is sucks, but then, and he's like, for the record, I don't like roses, and has a sunflower for her, and then they kiss, and you're like, he should be fucking furious, and like,
yeah. So the half of it has the better ending, because her and Aster, like, they talk again, but then they just kind of like part ways, you know. She's like, you're gonna go and fuck loads of girls in college or whatever, and that's like, that's it. But it's like, that's the way that it should be. Like, after you've done that to someone, like, you can't really come back from that. Like, he shouldn't have liked her. The story should have been about her learning that she just needs to be herself in order to be liked. Like, Veronica started to like her a lot. And, yeah, like, that you should, that when you lie and pretend to be something you're not, then there's consequences. Yes. But for her, the consequences are very temporary.
Yes.
And I do agree. Like, I think the ending, like I said, the concept of privilege is interesting in the movie because she is spoiled. And the ending of the movie, like, kind of sustains that. She gets everything she wants, even though she's done a really bad thing. Yeah. Like, I don't think she necessarily learns.
No, I don't think so.
Whereas I think Veronica does. And Veronica, to me, is the real star of this movie.
Same for me.
I love her.
Yeah, and then because they go to prom, Dan makes up with her, or he's already there. She smiles at Veronica, and then that's them making up. Yeah, she should have, the ending really aggravates me, because he could have said, like, I really liked you, I think you're beautiful, if you would have just, like, but you lied to me, so I can't, this is fucked up. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
And then they kiss, and he goes, did we do this before? And it's like, played off as a joke.
Yeah, exactly. Like, this shouldn't be a joke. This should not be a joke. Like,
do you think there was maybe an alternate ending in the studio? Was maybe like, no, but teenage girls want, you know, the happy ending or whatever.
Potentially. That's the thing. I do agree with you that, like, ultimately this film, like, sends a bad message and stuff. But, like, a film isn't all about the ending. Like, I have a lot of fun watching this. I think the aesthetic is really nice and cozy and nostalgic. The texting parts, like, really, like, make you feel something. The dialogue is a lot more funny and believable than, like, a lot of other teen movies, I think. A lot of other, like, Netflix ones specifically. And, yeah, I don't know. I just really like the friendship between her and Veronica. It's very, I don't know. It just feels believable in a way that a lot of, like, teen films don't.
Yeah.
It doesn't have the gloss of To All the Boys, the like varnish that makes everything seem fake.
Yeah, that's true. And that's the same for Kissing Booth and He's All That, because they're all so over the top. This one is a bit more low key, apart from the stupid costumes that everyone wears. But I think I really disliked
it. It's like that as
well. But I think the first time we watched it and spoke about it and birthed this podcast is because, yeah, it had so much potential and so many things it did right, but then ultimately fucks it up. And that's a shame. That's why it's an interesting watch. But because I knew what I was in for this time, I was really like, oh, I know she's going to catfish him and do the weird kissing scene and he's going to forgive her. Yeah. So I wasn't...
You were like dreading it the whole time.
And I couldn't deal with it because I was like, you're just, yeah. So that's why I found her really annoying, you know. Should we do bingo?
Yeah, let's do it. Okay, trips over?
No, she's not clumsy.
No. Dead parent?
No. Well,
no. Well, Veronica's mom pretends her dad is
nah,
dead.
That's not
she's
how
so
we
embarrassed
it.
No, it's not. Hollywood
yes,
dad?
Man.
Yes, she totally has it. The poet is a total Hollywood dad. It's kind of nice actually her relationship with her dad. Like they quote like literature at each other and like. But have you watched Succession, Heather?
No. Oh my god, my friend Laura would not shut up about this.
Oh my god, it's so amazing. But like the first time I saw this movie, I was like, "You dad!" And now because it's like Connor from Succession, I was like, "Oh, get that guy away from me!" I was like, "Creepy dad!" So my feelings about him definitely changed. Sexual assault. I mean, like, what she does, the kiss,
yeah.
the kiss that he thinks is
someone else,
kind of is
yes,
a form of assault, I would say.
Yes, definitely.
So,
really
we're gonna give it points. Mean Girl Redemption?
Yes, totally.
Yes.
It's the Mean Girl Redemption in the movie.
Yeah, exactly. Although I'll say a working title of this film. Blanket Heather Normativity.
Yeah, I know.
He goes to the dance with a girl. I guess that was wrong of me to think that. Dream bedroom.
Yes, oh
yes.
My God.
She definitely
so
has
dreamy.
A really nice room. Yeah. Makeover scene.
Yeah, she gets her eyebrows plucked, sort of.
Yeah, Veronica does a kind of low-key makeover of her. Crazy Teen Rager, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Annoying Sibling.
Yeah, the little girl.
Yes, oh my god, Veronica's siblings. Fucking hell. Prom?
Yeah.
Yes! You're throwing away your dream, no.
No.
And Quirky Male Friends.
Yeah, very quirky, but
yes.
Normally they're quite annoying, the Quirky Male Friends. This one I love. His one-liners
are gold. Yeah, me too. He's the best. Wow, 19.
Whoa, that's a high score.
Yeah, I know. 19 out of 30. Well done, Sierra Burgess is the loser. It's kind of weird because I wouldn't say it's like a typical teen film, but I guess it does.
It has all
it does
tropes.
Hit a lot of the right notes. Yeah.
Mm.
That's all we have time for. Any closing comments, Heather, on this movie?
I wouldn't watch it again. This was hard to
no.
sit through.
A third time might be pushing it.
But I'm glad it gave us this podcast and, you know, prolonged our friendship this way.
Oh, yeah, me too, definitely. I might. Do you think we wouldn't be friends anymore if it wasn't for this podcast? That's pretty sad.
Let's not answer that on air.
Wow, okay, with that, I'm off to get pied by Heather. So, yeah,
Sierra
everyone... Sierra
to my Veronica, Gemma.
Oh, that's really cute, Heather. It's like because you're the hot pop mm-hmm. cheerleader and I'm the loser.
You're the loser, bitch.
Cool. Okay, well, thank you for listening, everyone.
See you in 2 weeks.
Love you. Bye.